coming up next on Your World.
So I was getting ready to go to work, and I had to take the elevator down to the parking garage. And I just had a little extra pep in my step that day. So when I was walking in my car, you know, I wasn't really paying attention, but I noticed a car that was parked a few spaces away from mine. And there were a group of guys in the car. So I knew something was wrong when I became the center of their attention. Like, everything stopped. The biggest guy, he was 6'3", 300 pounds, ran up and he punched me in the face. By that time, they'd pulled their car behind my car. And the big guy came back and he hit me in the face and he squirted something in my eyes. And they burned horribly. You can see where I wiped down. And then this eye here actually melted closed.
My heart just, you know, to hear that somebody went through what you went through. My emotions are just really, I've never heard anything like this before. I just, how can people do this to another human being? Welcome. Welcome to Your World. I'm Creflo Dollar, and today we're going to talk about beauty. Our society is preoccupied with it. Every magazine cover, every commercial you see, they're all talking about beauty and what you need to do or what products you need to buy to live up to what the world has decided is beautiful. But what is it really that defines a person's beauty? And what if one day everything you saw as beautiful about yourself suddenly disappeared? Imagine a day where the face staring back at you in the mirror is a face that you don't even recognize. Today, you're going to meet a young lady who was kidnapped, held at gunpoint, and drenched with acid thrown at her face by a group of strangers. Now, although she now faces life with a mutilated face and body, she is with us today to share her amazing story of survival and also one of beauty. Next, right here on Your World. Now, today I have the pleasure of welcoming Carly to the show. She was viciously attacked on two different occasions by a group of people looking to get back at her then boyfriend. Now, with more than 30% of her body burned, Carly faces life with facial and emotional scars that will never go away. And now, she's here to share her story with us. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Carly to Your World. Welcome. So glad to have you with us here today.
I'm happy to be here.
I'd like to start off with your relationship with your mother. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. And as we make progress on this journey, to share some of the things about if it's too good to be true, it's probably not.
Well, my mother and I were very close. She and my dad divorced when I was 5. And my sister and I ended up living with her, and she was my superwoman. She was a Chicago police officer, you know, very strict, but also very down to earth, and I just adored her. So I was totally devastated when she committed suicide when I was 22 years old. That happened in 2005. It turned my entire world upside down because I could never imagine life without her. And I was still growing up. I was still trying to learn what it meant to live in this world as a young adult and as a young woman. So I was really hurt by that. And I can look back now, all of that pain impacted the choices that I made thereafter.
It was a lot of pain to have a mother to commit suicide. And in those cases, how did you view it from your perspective? Did you carry any guilt? Did you wonder? Did you have any questions that you had about the whole situation? I mean, of course, the obvious one is, what are you doing? Why did you do this?
Absolutely. I thought that maybe I could have done something differently to help her or to stop her. And I kept feeling like, well, maybe I stressed her out. Maybe me and my sister stressed her out. Maybe, you know, I kept trying to figure out what I could have done differently to keep her here. But she suffered from depression and, you know, illness, and there was nothing that I could do.
And I can tell by that response that you and your sister have come to the place of recognizing that you guys were not responsible for the decision that she made. But a lot of times people don't recognize that depression and chronic depression, it's a sickness, and it's a soul sickness. And, you know, a lot of times people would ask me a question, well, what happens to people, you know, who commit suicide? Are they going to hell? And I respond like this, well, what happened to people who, when they die of cancer?
Right.
No, God is a loving God, kind God, and I don't believe that at all. But as you went through the process of healing from that, and that's an ongoing process, do you remember some of the things your mother may have warned you about or talked to you about that you had to deal with even after her death?
Yes. I will never forget. My mother was not very fond of my boyfriend at the time. And the night before she passed away, she said, Carr, you know, just keep it light with him. You know, just keep it light. And that was her way of telling me, you know, that she didn't think he was right for me, but she was trying to let me navigate my way through the relationship. Because a lot of times when our parents say, oh, I don't like them, it makes you, you know, want to go against them or pushes you closer to them.
But she told you this the night before she committed suicide?
She told me this the night before she committed suicide.
How'd that feel?
Oh, man. I she knew.
Yeah.
She knew he wasn't right for me. And I always feel like I should have listened to her. But she just wanted me to figure things out for myself. And I appreciate, you know, her letting me grow in that way. But parents know. The people closest to you know.
Yeah. Did she ever tell you or give you some idea of some of the things you might need to watch out for?
Absolutely. He was not the best communicator. I would ask some questions, and he was not forthcoming. And that should have been a red flag. Once my mom passed away, I, like, clung tighter to him because I suffered such a great loss.
Tell us about the incident of the first time that you were kidnapped and what happened, and we'll move from that point.
So I was getting ready to go to work, and I had to take the elevator down to the parking garage. And I just had a little extra pep in my step that day. So when I was walking in my car, you know, I wasn't really paying attention, but I noticed a car that was parked a few spaces away from mine. And there were a group of guys in the car. So I knew something was wrong when I became the center of their attention. Like, everything stopped. So at that point, I didn't know if I should run to my car or run away. And immediately, they got out of the car and bum-rushed me. The biggest guy, he was 6'3", 300 pounds, ran up, and he punched me in the face. So went down, saw stars, and I felt blood everywhere. And then something just forced me to jump up and start fighting. So I started fighting, punching, kicking. They were picking me up and dropping me, and they ended up stuffing me into the trunk of my car. Now, when I got in there, I had my cell phone, so I kept thinking, ooh, I could try to call. But the light that illuminated the trunk allowed me to push around, and I popped the trunk release button. By that time, they'd pulled their car behind my car. And the big guy came back, and he hit me in the face, and he squirted something in my eyes, and they burned horribly. So then he took the phone away. He ended up getting into my car. He turned it on, and he turned the music up really loud. So I had a moment where I had to figure out how I was going to get out of there. And I felt around the trunk, and I found a tire iron. So I went over to the corner on the right-hand side, and I leaned down. I had a tire iron in this hand, and I popped the trunk just a tiny bit so I could still see out. And I could see the guys honking, saying, hey, she's trying to get out. So I knew that it was going to take four revolutions down the ramp before we got to the light. So I just stayed crouched in the corner, and I counted. So I returned 1, 2, 3, and I got to that fourth turn. I counted, and I saw the light, and I jumped out the trunk. When I jumped out the other car, when I looked up, the bumper was right above my head, and I was still holding onto that tire iron. Miraculously, one of my neighbors happened to be there, and I jumped up and ran. I said, help me, and they took off.
Do you think had you not escaped that day that they would have probably killed you that
Absolutely. Day? Absolutely. No doubt.
The fear that must have gripped you as a result of all of the unanswered questions, did you have any idea why this happened to you at the time?
I had absolutely no idea. And I kept thinking, like, what did I do? Did I make somebody mad? Did I cut somebody off while I was driving? Like, who would want to hurt me like this? And I was in such a panic that I just kept asking my family, like, what do you have going on? What do you have going on? Like, why would somebody want to get me? And I couldn't get past that.
So that was the first attack?
That was the first attack.
There was a second one.
Yes, unfortunately.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was a couple months later. I had moved out of my apartment building and moved back home to the suburbs.
And where's home?
Home is Evanston, Illinois.
Okay.
So I went to go visit my cousin at her new place. I hadn't seen her in a while. And it was late evening. It was about 8 o'clock. So we were just chatting, having girl talk. And I said, you know, I got to get home. It was about after 10 o'clock. So as I was walking out to my car, I got this funny feeling again, the same feeling when I saw those guys. There were two women kind of near my car who started walking towards me. And one of them said, hey, can you give my sister directions to Dempster? Now, it's a relatively small town. This was a residential street in the evening. And she asked me where a major road was. Red flag. In that moment, I had on flip-flops. I ran straight to my car. I thought that maybe I could, you know, run them over. So I'm trying to turn my car on and close the door. And while I'm doing that, she's got the gun in the car trying to shoot me. So after she got her hand all the way in the door, I just put my hands up. I said, you know, take my bag, take my purse, whatever. And not even a couple seconds later, I felt a splash on my face. And it burned so horribly. My initial reaction was to wipe right here. And you can see where I wiped down. And then this eye here actually melted closed. And then I felt a second splash on my stomach. And it was so powerful. In that moment, I kicked the door open. And I was trying to run to safety. And whatever clothes were not melting off of my body, I was ripping them off. So by the time I got to my cousin's door, I had no clothes on. And I could see the neighbors as they were looking at me in horror. Like, I knew, I was already in pain, but I knew something was very, very wrong. And my cousin let me in, and she put me in a cold shower. And that's what saved my skin.
My heart just, to hear that somebody went through what you went through. My emotions are just really, I've never heard anything like this before. How can people do this to another human being is what I'm thinking. And these were women, right?
These were women. These were women in their 30s. And when she threw the acid on me, they just kind of stood there and froze. So I didn't know if they were so sadistic that they were just, you know, wanting to watch me burn, or they were totally unaware of the power of what they'd just done because I was in a complete panic and rage. I don't know, but hurt people hurt people. So
yeah, hurt people hurt people. I want you to make sure you hear that. Hurt people hurt people. And, you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of hurting people in our country right now, and we got to do something about that, because hurt people hurt people. Now, You know, of course, you know, you're in the shower. They get you to the hospital as quick as possible. The treatment and everything starts. Where was your boyfriend?
Wasn't around initially. He ended up coming to the hospital, but at that point, my family was not happy to see him. They did not want him near me. They didn't know what his involvement was, so they were trying to keep him away. But I wanted to see him because that was comfort for me. And there was such a huge change with me physically that I wanted to know that he was still going to be there.
You're now concerned about acceptance. You're now concerned about, we're going to find out if you really love me. We're going to find out where you are.
Yes.
So how did he respond?
He wasn't the same. I started asking more questions, trying to dig a little deeper, and he would deflect. Well, it could have been this or it could have been that. And then the phone calls and text messages waned. And then eventually our whole relationship completely dissolved. And that was hard for me because not only did I go to sleep one person and wake up a completely different person, I lost my identity, then I lost someone who I thought cared about me, and I lost my life as I knew it. So there were just a lot of changes. And as hurt as I was that he left my life, I honestly believe that God was trying to get him out for a reason, because amazingly, once he left my life, bad things stopped happening to me.
I'm very interested to know about the first time you had to look at yourself in the mirror.
Oh, that was a rough experience. The first time I looked at myself in the mirror, I was in the intensive care burn unit. And they were doing something called debridement, where they had been taking the dead skin off. And I just happened to glance at myself in the mirror, and I was not sure of what I saw. I felt like I looked like a monster. And I kept going, is that me? Is that me? And from that point on, they took all the mirrors out because I couldn't relate to what I saw in the mirror. That was not who I was. And I had a huge struggle with my identity after that, because the person, the woman that I knew, was no longer. I had a new face. I had a new body. And it's still interesting living with scars, because I have this new identity.
But one of the things that you can absolutely definitely relate to is discovering identity from identity that was breached, touched, and messed with. And what was the process that you used to put your identity back in the place where it needed to be? Because there's so many people who would have never met that challenge, and obviously you've met that challenge. And God's using you to help people to come to that place where they can discover their identity. I wouldn't necessarily say a new identity, but it's definitely a new norm. Mm-hmm. Where this identity
Absolutely.
Is concerned. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
So how did you walk through this process?
Well, I struggled with depression, because
sure.
I was wondering, well, how will I be received in public? How will I date again? How will I work? Who am I? What am I going to do with myself? And it took me, really reflecting on my values to get back to that point. Now, before all this happened to me, I put so much of my value in my physical appearance. So I literally had to take what I thought beauty was, success, love, forgiveness. I had to take all those notions and throw them into the fire and burn them, because I didn't know what they were. And then from my experience of being at home and really being sitting with myself, emerged these new meanings to me. So one of the reasons that I call myself Burn Beauty is because I threw those things into the fire. And like the phoenix, are you familiar with that?
Yes, yes.
It's a mythological bird that periodically throws itself into the fire, and it reemerges as a better, more powerful version of itself. And that's what happened to me.
You know, that's what happens to all of us when we make Jesus the Lord of our
yes.
lives. We find ourselves going into him one way, but once we're in Christ, we emerge much better than what we could ever been because of the power of God in our lives. Much, much, much more better. I'm just so glad that you're dealing with this issue, because so many people have found themselves not defining beauty in the right way, if beauty can only be defined through physical and through clothes and through outer things, mm-hmm. I think we got the wrong definition of it.
Right.
You can meet somebody that's absolutely physically beautiful, but boy, they're so ugly on the inside, you know, all of a sudden it begins to affect the outside. And the same thing is true. I have learned this, that when you begin to understand the beauty that's on the inside of you, it begins to radiate and it begins to flow. And all of a sudden, other people can begin to see things about yourself that you can't see about yourself.
Yes.
That's the power of real beauty. I'm going to ask you a very interesting question. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this question before, because, you know, I'm asking because you're a perfect picture of this. What is grace to you?
What is grace? Grace is discovering God in you. Grace is coming through the fire. It's getting through things, not knowing how, why. Coming out on the other side just stronger. Gosh, grace has shown itself so many places in my life. If I told you of all the little moments of grace and miracles that have happened, you wouldn't believe me.
And that's why I'm asking you, because you sit here today as a picture of God's unmerited favor.
Yes. Yes.
It, you know, throughout the whole thing, I'm asking myself, well, what did she do to deserve the right to be alive after the first attack, and yet she got away? And so what did she do to deserve to be able to recover after the second attack? And what did she deserve and how does she work and perform to deserve to have a sound mind and not be crazy somewhere in some mental institution? And what does she deserve? Every bit of your life is an expression of God's unmerited favor and his love, and you are a picture of the grace of God. Carly, I like to share something with you. I sometimes share with some of our guests. It's a grace covenant, just to remind you of our time that we spent today as you ministered to people, really set the captives free. You share some things to set some people free. You don't know it right now because we're in the middle of the program, but you will. You allowed us to come into your world, and it's been awesome. And it's a grace covenant presented on this day, April the 15th. And it says, Carly Butler, I, Carly Butler, accept this grace covenant provided to me by Creflo Dollar and agree with the following statement. I believe Jesus loves me and nothing will ever change that. I believe that grace in the person of Jesus Christ has already provided everything I will ever need to have a healthy, fulfilling, and prosperous life. I believe everything in my past is in my past. Jesus has chosen not to remember it, and neither will I. I will daily proclaim I am the righteousness of God. I will daily live by the belief of understanding grace empowering change to better equip myself for success and to better serve those individuals around me. I will daily flood my life with the word of God and the praises of his saints. And I'm going to put my little John Hancock on this, and I want you to sign right above this line that says I'm the righteousness of God, because you are the righteousness of God. Amen. You know, we can listen to tragic stories like Carly's and think that will never happen to me. I mean, no way. Well, Carly used to think that same thing. She was living the life of your average 23-year-old woman when her whole world turned upside down. But from her horrible tragedy came a life of purpose, and her experience has given her the chance to help women all over the country learn how they can forgive those who have hurt them and regain their identity and purpose and sense of self-esteem. I think you'll agree, Carly is the complete embodiment of beauty. Don't you think so? Maybe you have found it hard to forgive those who've wronged you, or maybe you need help understanding how valuable and beautiful you are and who you are in Christ. Well, I've put together a collection of resources that I think will really help you. My announcer is here to tell you more, and I'll be right back.